On Wednesday, the Department of Natural Resources Board is expected to approve a antlerless deer hunt this fall in all or part of 19 Wisconsin counties, including most of northern Wisconsin. To discuss why this change is needed and how it will work, thanks to Kevin Wallenfang, big game ecologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and George Meyer, executive director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation and a former DNR secretary. Gentlemen, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, let's talk about this change. Is this a big change, Kevin, from a traditional deer hunting season?
It's unusual, for sure. We're poking back through the old numbers and trying to find a year where we had zero quotas in the north, and you have to go back a long, long way prior to the 80s. So it's very unusual. Wisconsin hunters have gotten used to the idea of shooting antlerless deer over the years, and they're used to high quotas. But we've had two very rough winters, and we're responding to that. So we don't think it's an unusual thing to do.
But understand, but your search of the records can't find the last time that we had it?
I probably didn't go back far enough, but I'm sure when you got into the 70s, there were probably some times that we did.
Let's call it George's memory. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, going back, maybe in the 70s was the time, as Kevin said, but not since then. This is fairly unusual.
Okay. Well, let's look at the map. 19 counties where DNR is going to recommend no antlerless hunt. How were these 19 chosen?
Well, the 19, all of them fall within what we refer to as forested regions of the state. So in deer management, we kind of carve the state up by habitat types. And our farmland regions that are dominated by farmland, corn, soybeans out there on the landscape, mm-hmm. are very, very productive as far as deer populations go. They grow very quickly. They respond to any kind of a decline very, very quickly. Our forested regions have a carrying capacity that is significantly lower than those farmland regions. So the areas that we're looking at are considered the forested regions, and they have lower productivity and they're hit very hard by winter.
What's the relationship between these forested areas and deer?
Well, it's that habitat component, really. Like I said, they're less productive as far as the amount of fawns that the deer can put out. I don't want to say health. Their productivity is really what it comes down to, and a lot of that is based on winter, harshness of the winter, like we had the last couple of years here, and then the habitat that's out there to support them.
Okay. Any PS on that, George?
Well, and Kevin's right. I mean, the populations in Wisconsin are down in terms of, or at least the forest are less capable of producing more deer because of the mature forest up there. So that, compounded by the last couple winters, have put severe strain on that deer herd.
Well, let's talk about the last couple winters. Now, I heard you, I think, on a radio, Kevin, 40% of fawns that you can track were killed last winter? Can you put that in context?
Sure. We have a couple of different radio telemetry research projects going on. So when I say radio telemetry, we have radio collars around the necks of these animals that they can be tracked daily, and we can determine death causes of death and survival rates and those kind of things. So we have one study area that is in, I believe most of it is in Sawyer County, where we have several hundred deer with radio collars around their neck, and in tracking them through the winter, we had 40% of the fawn segment that died this winter, and a lot of that was due to malnutrition. So that shouldn't surprise anybody. That's exactly the segment of the population that you would anticipate would be hit the hardest by rough weather. They're small, competing for food. They have a more difficult time even getting to food that's readily available because the older adult deer will chase them away. They can't reach as high into the trees when they're nipping at buds and things like that. So no big surprise there, really. It's a very harsh winter. Our estimates right now are about 40% of that fawn population. Now, that's not to say that happened statewide, but it's a pretty good indicator. It certainly didn't happen in the southern part of the state to that extent.
Did not.
Okay. Our farmland regions are much more productive. They're less harsh on the winter is less harsh on the animals. There's more food out there available to them. Now, looking at the adult segment, though, deer living in that same area where we lost approximately 40% of our radio collar deer is in the 10 to 15% range. So the adult deer tend to make it through. They're wired for winter. They are wired to adjust to the lack of food and the harsh conditions and whatnot. So they come through in much better shape.
George, your response to the 40% kill on fawns in the winter area?
That's not surprising. It was a harsh winter. And, you know, as Kevin indicated, the fawns are less likely to be able to make it through. I anticipate that may well have been the case across somewhere in that neighborhood, 30-40%. Very normal across almost all of northern Wisconsin.
Well, the board, I think, is poised to stamp its approval on this this change for the fall season. But let me ask this. If we didn't do this, the antlerless ban in the 19 counties, what are some of the other options? If we did nothing, were there other options considered, Kevin?
Well, you know, you're always going to lose some deer every year to car accidents, to illness, to predators, whatever it's going to be. So deer are going to die out there. But this is a easy first step towards recovery. So, you know, we're in a whole new history making period of deer management right now because we've made a lot of changes this year because
yes.
of the deer trustee process.
Right.
So it's hard to talk about some of the new ways that we're doing things without talking about the old ways. And going back to the old ways, we used to have deer population goals for every mm-hmm. deer management unit in the state. Now we yep. don't have those goals anymore. But if we were still operating under those old population goals, we are below goal right now. So this is, like I said, it's a very simple, logical, common sense thing to do that when you want to get your deer population back to a certain level, you back off on your doe harvest. And we're down significantly enough where we can do that completely across the board. Now, in years past, we've had situations where we were below goal, but not so much that you had to go zero. You can still shoot antlerless deer and see herd growth. It's just a matter of the percentage that you're taking.
The number of the size of the deer herd, George, has been debated for mm-hmm. decades. Well, my question is, how healthy overall is a deer herd now?
Well, I think on a statewide basis, it's very healthy.
I mean,
the southern Wisconsin deer herd is doing very well, and we had a very, last hunting season, some cold weather, but generally there was very good acceptance by sportsmen of the last deer season. Northern Wisconsin, and we represent sportsmen in many clubs across the northern Wisconsin. We heard substantially last year, and in fact for a couple of years, about the decreasing population up there. And DNR has been putting more restrictive harvest numbers, those on the northeast. And I think at our show last year, when Kevin and I were here, mm-hmm. I raised the north. I was hearing as much from northwestern Wisconsin. And they had a very severe winter this year,
yep.
Even compared to the central or north central and northeast. And so there, I can tell you the people up there, I had a meeting with Douglas County Fish and Game 2 weeks ago, and they are ecstatic that the department is going to this. You know, people may wonder, okay, sportsmen, don't they want more deer? No, they want a healthy deer herd. They have a long-term view on this, and they know that, in fact, they're the future opportunity for themselves and their children and grandchildren depends on a sustainable, healthy deer population. And so they're willing to accept the medicine for a year, I would say 2 years, to be able to build that population back up.
That was another one of my questions. If we do it this fall season in 2014, is it likely to have to be repeated in 2015?
Across the board, not likely. Some areas, very well likely. Very well may happen. But, you know, we evaluate these things from 1 year to the next.
Yeah.
Another big change, I mentioned the deer trustee process. Another big change coming next year is that each one of the counties now is going to have their own committee chaired by the Conservation Congress and made up of people with an interest in the deer population, you know, some either either personally or professionally within their county, and these committees are going to form and they're going to make their own recommendations next
Is that
year.
Going to be in effect for the fall this year's season, 2014 or
no,
2015?
No, these are set for 2014.
Right.
They will begin to take shape this fall, start organizing, and they will make recommendations for 2015.
Okay.
So we're looking at a whole new way of even setting quotas and permit levels here in the future.
We talked about the harsh winter killing deer in northern Wisconsin. What else kills deer in northern Wisconsin, Kevin? Predators?
Well, oh, certainly. We've got the research that I was talking about. We've got wolves out there. We've got black bears. We've got bobcats. We've got coyotes. We've got automobiles. We've got disease. We've got, drowning, you name it. I mean, anything that could happen to you and I walking in the woods can happen to a deer out there.
Okay. Let's look at the second chart because
but
I've...
Can I...
Please, Kevin,
back
go.
Up to one thing?
Would you please?
All of our research, not surprising, shouldn't be surprising to anybody, is still saying that our deer hunters kill 80% of our deer. 80% of the deaths of our deer in the state are caused by hunters. So there's still an awful lot of deer when you take all the other
80%.
Factors aside.
Yep.
80% still fall to our hunters.
Thanks to the DNR for providing the numbers on the second chart, because Kevin, here's what intrigues me. The number of the percentage of the deer harvest that were what's a better term? Does?
Does and fawns,
okay.
Antlerless, yeah.
antlerless, having trouble with that. That has been, it's been changing in the 19 counties. These 19 counties, the deer only has dropped from 22% to 16%. Why?
That was completely by design. As George mentioned earlier, the deer population in the north has been on a downward trend. Over time. Over the past few years, we've had buck-only units. So we have made an attempt to try to increase deer populations in some areas where they were down. And we have steadily reduced our antlerless quota across the north for the last few years.
Okay.
So that has been an attempt to allow deer numbers to grow where they're down. But again, you can continue to have an antlerless harvest and still see population growth.
Okay, now here's a question from a non-hunter. If I'm hunting and I'm excited and I see a deer, how do I recognize that it doesn't have antlers? Because, the adrenaline's going and I want to drop it. Is it pretty easy to detect?
It can be and it cannot be. I mean, it depends on the situation. It depends on light. But
Oops,
for the most part, as a hunter, well, that is where that kind of where you separate the men from the boys and the women from the girls, I guess. I mean, your responsibility as a hunter, number one rule is to always know what your target is before you even put your finger on the trigger. So that's a simple rule of safety. And, you're looking for, obviously, antlers on the head. It has to be at least 3 inches long to be considered an antler buck. Otherwise, it falls into that antlerless category.
Antlerless, I said it.
The responsibility is yours, and if you're not sure, just don't take the shot.
Right.
Now, if for some reason brush in the way or something, you
obscure.
Made a mistake.
Yep.
Our recommendation is call the conservation warden. Just let them know.
Okay.
And you may get a fine out of it, but it could be a lot worse if you get turned in or anything like that. And I mean, that's just ethical hunting. One is not to shoot first, though.
Right. Is it likely that if I make a mistake, I'm an excited, I've been trained, I've gone through hunter safety, and I drop antlerless, and I raise my hand and say, oops, am I likely to get a fine?
I think that will depend on the situation.
And if so, how big a fine? Because the question is, how are you going to enforce this?
My judgment is you may well get a fine, but it...
How much?
Well...
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. There are some alternatives for the warden in that situation.
Okay.
And if you fess up right away and call them and whatever, you're more likely to get a lesser fine. If you don't and you get caught, it's a $2,000 fine.
$2,000?
That's in the aggravated situations, that's what you're going to get. So, it's much better to call and say, okay, I made a mistake, I'm turning myself in. You're much more likely to get a lesser fine. If there's one thing I could add, we've been talking about no antlerless harvest. There are some exceptions to that.
Right. Yes.
And I want to make sure in case any of your listeners hear this. There are disabled individuals, youth, mm-hmm. and military people on leave can harvest does.
Right.
Okay. Well, one other question is, how are you going to make hunters? How many hunting licenses are we expected to sell? Hundreds of thousands this fall. How are hunters going to be made aware of these 19 specific counties? You hunt in here, you cannot take a antlerless deer.
Well, a variety of ways. I mean, every single year we put all of this information will be in the hunting regulations booklet, which gets printed every year. The sale for antlerless permits begins in mid-August. We put out special information and press releases and all sorts of things on that. Our websites are loaded with it. We are doing the Outdoor Wisconsin Deer Hunt television show again this year. We have a meeting coming up here in another week or so, simply about communication of all the new rules as well as this kind of information. So, I mean, we're constantly trying to get information out there about these kind of things.
What's been the reaction of hunters? Your members, George?
Generally, I think what we've heard so far, this is what they wanted in northern Wisconsin. And I think I will be supportive of this. I think they would have been very upset if there had been any significant quotas in northern Wisconsin.
Okay. I was up in Price and Ashland counties just last weekend, and it seems to be that they grudgingly are accepting this. Is that a fair response, you think, Kevin?
I think a lot of them are enthusiastically accepting this. I mean, they would prefer to have higher deer numbers. They would, hunters like to see deer. We do surveys all the time, and our hunters year in and year out say, I don't care so much about getting a deer, but I'd sure like to see some. And over the years, they've been seeing fewer and fewer, and there's a variety of reasons for that as well. It's not necessarily just deer numbers, but we'll get into that another time. I think for the most part, I think I've heard from one person who has said, I can't even shoot a doe on my own property right now. And there are alternatives to that as well. Through the DTR process, we have another new
DTR
program.
DTR is what?
The Deer Trustee process. Okay. We have another new program called the Deer Management Assistance Program, DMAP. And if somebody's got a situation where they do have a lot of deer on their property and they want to try to do something in one of these areas where there are no doe hunts allowed, they could enroll in DMAP and have the possibility of getting some deer tags, some doe tags, to address their specific problems. It's outside the agricultural damage program. Mm-hmm. It's more of a land management type of a program. So there are even alternatives out there for individual landowners who perceive a problem on the
property. I did have one Price County resident tell me, if I'm out there, I've been hunting, looking for bucks for 4 days, and I've been getting skunked, and I'm about to go home, and I see a doe, I do want a deer. I do want to drop one. So
this is what I tell them. If you want to shoot one next year, it's better to pass up that doe this year.
Okay. How long is it going to take for our herd to recover up north, given this?
Remains to be seen. But the one scenario I like to fall back on all the time is in 1995 and 1996, mm-hmm. we had two of the worst back-to-back winters. We probably surpassed that now. But those were two of the worst back-to-back winters that we've ever had. And 5 or 6 years later, we shot an all-time high record number of deer, and a lot of those deer came out of the north. So they can rebound very, very quickly.
Okay. Other changes proposed for the 2014 hunt?
A lot. They are all related to the Deer Trustee Report implementation. Hunters are going to see a different configuration to the deer management units this year. The crossbow season is out mm-hmm. there. If I had to guess, there's probably 20 to 30 new rules that will be in place this year. But they're not complicated. People need to take a little bit of time and get familiar with them, but they are not complicated.
Okay. Go ahead, George.
There's a couple I'd like to mention, and a couple that, especially the first, Kevin's going to have a challenge with, is for the first time there's going to be separate permits for hunting on public land and private land.
Right.
That's a first?
That's a first.
And we're hearing a significant amount
of... Is that going to give you gray hair, Kevin?
No.
Oh, okay. Excuse me, George.
Well, we're hearing a significant amount of controversy in regard to that. A lot of hunters, and think of areas where there are going to be doe permits available, often hunt on public and private lands. This increases the amount it's going to cost them to do that they're taking kids along, it will also increase it. And you have farms split up by those kinds of, you know, maybe adjacent to a public land, the deer runs off on the public land, and, you know, can they hunt, or can they, you know, go and follow the deer and kill it there or not?
Yeah. What about if you shoot a deer in public land and then you got to trail it into a private property? How's that going to work?
Well, that's a question I have for Kevin, because we don't have an answer.
That's not a change. If you shot a deer in the past on public property and it went onto private property, those rules haven't changed. The scenario of the tag that you have in your pocket might change.
But the
scenario itself has not changed. You still have to get permission to enter on public property. The controversy that George is talking about, the complexity of it, is I had a tag that it was good for here, mm-hmm. and then the deer ran over here. Mm-hmm. That's really not a new situation in the past either, because a deer could have, in the past, been shot in one deer management unit, run across the highway or whatever into a different deer management unit. So for this first year, as we do every time there are rule changes, our wardens are going to be very, very lenient. They are going to try to understand every situation. I'd be willing to bet that they're going to give an awful lot of people that have any kind of a problem this year a warning instead of a ticket.
But this is a big change, right?
It is a big change.
It is a big change.
It's something to get used to.
And Kevin talked about a situation where you're on the line between deer management units. Well, there's a lot of public lands that abut private lands within the interior of those deer management units. So it compounds that problem. And quite candidly, I mean, say you've got the permission of a landowner, you still, if you want to follow the law, you're not going to, you have a choice of wasting that deer possibly, or violating the law. That's not a very good choice to make. And the other thing is, if you're hunting on private land, we've heard from farmers that abut public land. I've got a permit, private land permit. I've got 800 acres, and I wanted to farm, but I'm adjacent to Brooklyn Wildlife Area. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the deer escapes, and all of a sudden, it's on public land. I don't have a permit for that land. Or if I plan ahead, I have to buy a permit for that land also. So there's going to be complications, and well, I think there will be discretion by the wardens. I don't think there is any question.
So the wardens doesn't take it easier this year.
Absolutely.
To explain.
But that doesn't
rule.
Solve the problem. That just means no violation this year.
Okay.
You know, what's a long-term problem isn't solved.
Again, it's not a situation that couldn't have happened in the past. And if somebody shoots a deer on public property and they have permission from the landowner to go get it, we would recommend they go and get the deer and put their public land tag on it and take it home. We don't want that deer to go to waste. But this is kind of one of those no good deed goes unpunished sort of a thing, because this new rule is in response to public desire. The public has been telling the department for a long time, and it's obvious out there in a lot of areas, that the public properties get hunted very, very hard. This is our first attempt at trying to do something that takes some of that hunting pressure off the public properties. And tag allocation is about the only way that we know that we can do it without actually telling somebody, you can't hunt this year. And that's not the way the Wisconsin hunting tradition works. We're not going to tell somebody they can't go hunting. And so this is our attempt to do it. We're not saying it's perfect.
Right.
We will adjust to it in the future. Who knows? It might go away. In some areas, it's probably going to work really well. In other areas, it might not work as well, depending on the size of that property.
One more overview question. Are we seeing fewer and fewer younger people interested in hunting? There's so much competition, video games and otherwise. Is that a worry? We have a strong hunting tradition in part of our culture.
If I recall the numbers, we're still recruiting about the same number and going through the hunter education classes. The number of total hunters has been declining over the last, say, decade or so.
Of all ages.
Right, but that has a lot to do with demographics. All of us in the baby boom generation, mm-hmm. And
hunting
those
less and less?
You know, I'm at the forefront end of it, but those older than I that are not in the baby boom are getting out of hunting. And as the baby boom generation, which was a population boom, and there's a large percentage of the hunters are in there, start to give up hunting or pass on whatever, they're not being, they're likely not going to be replaced at the current levels of hunter recruitment to take their place. So the pot will go, the number of total hunters will go down.
Yep.
To a level, you know, 2040, 2050. There are efforts by the department, a lot of sporting organizations such as yours, to increase recruitment of young 20s and 30s, and even, you know, and obviously women, to get involved, which should help that number. But my personal opinion is it will be a partial solution to it, and maybe raise those numbers above that what otherwise they may be. But it, we're still going to see a demographic change in terms of
big
number
shift.
Of hunters.
Are you encouraged or discouraged by the number of young hunters?
I hear really good stories every day.
Okay.
And the department is working very, very hard with a lot of partners out there to do everything they can to keep this tradition alive in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And to get more kids involved in all aspects of the outdoors,
yeah.
Not just hunting,
right.
And fishing, but just going out and enjoying seeing a bird. There's a lot of kids that never look up.
Right.
I'm encouraged by it. You know, there's funding out there to do a lot of it. It's certainly high on priority lists. I think our department is doing a great job with it, and hopefully it'll continue to get better.
And is there a short update on CWD that I should be asking about?
Well,
nothing short, huh, Jerry?
There's really nothing new to add to the situation. Chronic wasting disease, the prevalence rates down in the core area where it was originally discovered.
Core area, southern Wisconsin?
Southern Wisconsin continue to increase. So by that I mean that the percentage of, say, adult bucks, the percentage of all age classes and sexes of deer are seeing a higher and higher percentage of them within the population are carrying it. It continues to trickle its way out across the state. We've mm-hmm. got about half of the counties in the state now are considered that's also part of the rule package for tomorrow, considered the CWD affected counties now. We've gotten rid of the old CWD zone because it's spread out beyond that now. So we continue to monitor it, and you know, it continues to be a concern.
Your thoughts on CWD, George?
Right. I think this one area, and it's not clearly Kevin's decision on this, but the Wildlife Federation is very concerned about the spread of CWD in the state. In the last 2 years, it's in 7 or 8 new counties that we didn't have 2 years ago. It's spreading, and as Kevin indicated, in the core area, the percentage is going up of prevalence of it, which means there's going to be more animals out there spreading into other areas. And it is very discouraging that the department, and some of it's because of political reasons from outside the department, and candidly there are some sportsmen that don't want, have really rebelled against any increased harvest on it, but DNR's proposal, and it's been this going this way for a few years, has substantially reduced the harvest changed the restrictions on CWD to the point that basically it is a monitoring program now. So we're watching ourselves be more infected by the disease.
But CWD is in 7 more counties than it was a year ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. That's the growth. Okay, we're almost out of time. Let's wrap it up this way. The board approves the antlerless season in 19 counties. What's your advice to hunters with this major change coming? George, you want to go first?
Get a hold of the regulations right away. You know, the areas they hunt are not going to be by they're going to have different boundaries this year. There may be this party or private land, public land permit, and check what the quotas are in your area. There may be dramatic changes.
Okay. Kevin, last word.
My last word is that the harvest varies, but deer hunting is always good. And this is one of the biggest events in the state for a lot of people. The folks in the northern part of the state where their deer numbers are down, as you said earlier, they're very accepting of what's happening here. I mean, how else do you get back to even other than backing off for a year or two? And that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to respond to that. We realize that, you know, from an economic standpoint, there's a lot of businesses in northern Wisconsin depend on outdoor activities, and deer season is a big one for them. We realize that our hunters like to see deer, and we're trying to accommodate that.
And it's been decades since we've had this change, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Kevin, George, thanks very much. This is a big change, and thanks for helping Wisconsin and I talk about it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.